Well, good morning, everybody. Today is Wednesday, April 10th, and we have the history show this morning. We're going to take a little twist. We're going to go to Old Fort Niagara this morning. Start a few minutes early because we have so much to talk to, and I'm very, very pleased to say that we have in studio the executive director of Old Fort Niagara in Youngstown, New York, Mr. Bob Emerson. Good morning, Bob. How are you?
Good morning. Thank you.
All right. We're so glad that you could take time out of your day to join us this morning and talk about all of the great events going on at Old Fort Niagara. So I got to ask you, first off, how did the eclipse go?
Well, it was certainly unusual. It was pretty cloudy, so you couldn't really see very much. But the when totality occurred, it got real dark real fast.
And it sure did.
We probably had 500-600 people inside the fort, and sort of awe-struck wave went over the crowd when it got real dark real fast. So I think everybody enjoyed it in spite of the weather.
Absolutely. It was still a great experience, no matter how you look at it, because I was in Williamsville that day, and the same thing. And we caught a little sliver of the eclipse for just a second, and it was kind of cool to see. But just the as the darkness came over us, and then as it started to get light again, it was really, really weird to see the sunrise come from the west. That just kind of creeped me out. No question about that. Oh, boy. So at any rate, folks, if you would like to ask Bob any questions or have any comments or thoughts or concerns, anything you want to talk about as far as Old Fort Niagara goes, you can feel free to join our conversation at 433-1433 at any point in time that you would like to. So, Bob, tell me, you have some events coming up in the near future, and then you have some long-term plans that are going on. So, go ahead and fill us in on what's happening at Old Fort Niagara.
Well, we'll start with what's coming up. We're going to begin May with a one-day event called Native Nations at Niagara. It's a Native American smoke dance competition. We have dancers competing for prizes. They're coming from all over. And it'll be a full day of programming. There'll be Native American vendors. There'll be Native American food. And, of course, the dance competition. We started this event last year, and it was a big success. So it's coming back in 2024. And that's going to be on May 11th. That's a Saturday. So we hope folks will come out for that. Also, on Memorial Day weekend, we have our annual Soldiers Through the Ages program, and that's Saturday and Sunday of Memorial Day weekend. And it's a military timeline event. Everything from medieval times through we even have some active duty military coming up. So you know, from colonial times through the 20th century, we have reenactors who set up camps, and we have demonstrations of military hardware. We have military vehicles. I mentioned period camps. We have a display of rations through the ages. What did soldiers eat from the 18th century through modern times? Of course, ending up with MREs.
Right. I was just going to ask if they had those back then. They had those biscuits that they made, right?
Yeah, yeah. And some things really don't change and others do. So it's a really interesting display. We'll have cooking demonstrations. So it's one of the most educational events that we sponsor, because you can compare and contrast living conditions through the centuries, really see how military life has changed over hundreds of years.
Yeah, it's got to be quite a comparison. Because I know that the military guys that today, especially, you know, they have really are aware of how, you know, you have to take care of your feet. Because if your feet aren't in good shape, you're going nowhere. How in the world did they take care of their feet back then?
Well, in some cases they didn't, and in fact, you know, during the American Revolution and other conflicts that surrounded it, disease and unhealthy conditions claimed more lives than combat did. So you really had to, be careful. Camps were crowded. Sanitation was often not the best. A lot of times, particularly in the American Army, they didn't even have shoes. So you know, you're leaving bloody footprints in the snow in the wintertime. So, yeah, it was really a tough, tough existence.
It had to be. Boy, what tough, tough men fighting. You know, they're fighting for what they believe in. That's it's so admirable to see the history, read the history, and to hear the history of these guys. They literally gave everything they had.
Right, and you know, as a historic site, we're focused on military history, and you know, it's our job to make sure that people don't forget forget about our history, forget about the sacrifices that were made and are still being made.
Agreed, wholeheartedly there. And of course, old Fort Niagara, that has, how long has that been around?
Well, the fort was established by the French in 1726. There were a couple of forts there before that. The French actually tried to establish forts there in the 17th century, but both of them lasted about a year. They were just too far away from the main French settlements to be sustained, so they were short-lived. But the French came back in 1726, and they erected what we call today the French Castle, which is now the oldest building in western New York, oldest building on the Great Lakes, in fact. And we're going to be gearing up in a couple of years to celebrate the 300th birthday of the French Castle in 2026.
Holy smokes. That's amazing. 300 years that castle's been there.
Yeah, it's...
I'd like to know who their builder was.
Well, the engineer that supervised the work was a man named Chassegros de Lery. He was the chief engineer for New France, based in Quebec and Montreal, and he supervised the construction. They started in June of 1726, and they finished in October of 1727, and it was the most elaborate building west of Montreal in the colony of New France. So it really did take a long time to finish the job, so to speak. But they were up and running by 1727. But we're celebrating the 300th when construction began in 26.
Right. So in, 2026, 300 years. Yeah, boy, oh boy. They made them to build. They built them to last. No question about that.
Huh? Yeah, yeah. And we've just had a new roof on the French Castle that New York State Parks provided. Whole new roof. We were having some leaking problems. And we're going to be starting a masonry restoration project this summer to repoint some of the stone buildings that are at the fort. So, you know, these structures that are hundreds of years old, they require constant maintenance.
Oh, I'm certain. Yes, they get a little leak here and there after the first 200 years.
Well, and we're right there on the shore of Lake Ontario, so the buildings get battered by the wind and by the waves. So, you know, you really have to keep after them constantly in order to maintain them in proper order.
Yeah, it's just brutal, brutal in the winter. We all know that. We do. So what else we got going on at our good fort?
Well, we've got some events this summer that are our annual events, the 4th of July weekend. Now, the 4th is on a Thursday this year. So our big siege weekend will be the 5th, 6th, and 7th of July. That's our biggest event of the year. It recreates the siege of Fort Niagara that occurred during the French and Indian War. It's when the British captured Fort Niagara from the French. And imagine if that had gone differently, we might be having this conversation in another language today. But
that's really true. That's how close it came, isn't it?
Yeah, it's really a seminal event in the history of the Great Lakes in our region. So we recreate that with we have battle reenactments and large camps, a lot of demonstrations going on, Native American councils. We have vendors, period artisans, and merchants. So it's a big event. I think it's probably in about its 42nd year this year. So it's an annual thing, and people come from all over to participate in this reenactment. We get people from Europe, from California, from Canada, Quebec specifically. So yeah, it's a great great event, and it's our number one event of the entire year. And then later in July, we have a Revolutionary War encampment. We're all gearing up for the 250th birthday of the United States in 2026. It's the 250th of the Declaration of Independence. So we'll talk a little bit later about what Niagara County is doing for that. Our Revolutionary War event, 27th and 28th of July. And then we end the summer with the War of 1812 encampment. That's on Labor Day weekend. And Labor Day is really early this year, so the event's going to be August 31st, September 1st. And then, of course, we have some a lot of school programs in the spring and fall. In fact, we're loaded with school tours this spring. They're almost all booked out, booked up. So
that's fantastic. That's so important to get these young people in here to see it with their very own eyes. That's the best kind of education you can possibly get.
We had a young man from it's from the city of Buffalo, and probably a fourth grader. And after his tour of the fort, he ran up to the tour guide and gave the tour guide a big hug and said, "This is the best day of my life." So you know that this young man really loved the fort. And the thing about the fort that is so, I think, attractive to young people is it's multisensory. You're not just standing listening to a lecture. You're seeing demonstrations of things happening. You're actually experiencing what life must have been like in the past. So it's really a dynamic experience for kids.
And absolutely. You can see it, hear it, touch it, smell it.
So we had we doubled our school attendance last year. And it's getting back to where it used to be before COVID. And of course, it dipped during COVID, but we went from 6,000 school kids in 2022 to 12,000 in 2023. So that's excellent. And we know that, adults tell us, "Wow, I was there in fourth grade." Everybody tells us that.
And that was the last time they were there.
Well, yeah, sometimes.
Yeah. I'm guilty. No, I've been there as an adult, but I was a young adult.
Yeah.
And let's see, what's that? You say you're going to get over 6,000 students there this year. You think it's going to be more than that, even?
Well, it's booked pretty solid. We know the spring tours are really booked for the school tours. We don't know what the fall is going to bring yet, but the fall is always very popular as well. So I'm expecting we'll probably exceed our 12,000 figure in 2024. I hope so.
Oh, fantastic. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, you can join the conversation if you like at 433-1433. Tell us about when you went to Old Fort Niagara and what experiences you had. So now this is, what is it open officially for the public now?
Yes, we're open all year.
Sure.
We do have seasonal hours, January, February, and March. We're only open Wednesdays through Sundays, closed Mondays and Tuesdays. But now that we're into April, we're open daily from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. And then in the summer, we're open till 5. So, we had about 80,000 total visitors last year. So that was, that was a good year for us.
Absolutely. So it helps, to people to get educated, and it helps to keep the revenues coming in enough to do all the maintenance that's required to keep that place going. So is your main funding through ticket sales, or who owns Old Fort Niagara? How is it funded?
Well, the fort itself is in Fort Niagara State Park, so it's owned by New York State. But we're a not-for-profit organization that actually operates the site, and have done so since the 1920s. I mean, it's almost 100 years that the Old Fort Niagara Association has been in existence, and we're licensed by the state of New York to operate the fort. So we are responsible for raising the money to pay the normal operating expenses that occur. So we get income from admission fees. We have a museum shop in the summertime. We sell. We have a food service in the summertime. We also get donations from the community. We have an annual fund campaign that raises about $60,000 for us. We have memberships. People can join the fort, and that helps to keep the lights on. Memberships entitle you to free admission to our events and our daily programs. You get a newsletter. You get a discount in the museum shop. So that's another source of revenue for us. So it's those combination of things that go into making up our operating budget.
That's great. Now, how long have you been with the organization?
I came in March of 1997, so I guess I'm going on. I guess I'm going on 27 years now.
Oh my, that's impressive.
Yeah, I mean, I first came to Fort Niagara as a visitor in about 1979. And I had been to a lot of other forts. I've always kind of been interested in this era of history. And most of these other forts that I had visited were much smaller than Fort Niagara. So I guess my first look at Fort Niagara, I almost gasped and said, wow, look at this place. This is magnificent. So that was my first exposure to it in 1979. And then, I've been in museum work all my life, and when I had the chance to apply for the executive director position in 1996, I did so, and lo and behold, they hired me. So here I've been there for 27 years and then some.
In this position. Wow.
Yep.
So you know a thing or two about a thing or two what's going on there then. ladies and gentlemen, for those of you who may be just joining us, we are in studio with Bob Emerson, who is the executive director of Old Fort Niagara in Youngstown, and he's informing us about all the great events that are going on and also all of the things that are taking place to preserve our history. You know, certain things as like keeping the buildings up and running, to the keeping the grounds going, and to get our young people in there to have them learn about the history of the men and women that made so many sacrifices to get us where we are today. We're going to pause for just 10 seconds for a legal ID, and we'll be right back.
Hometown 1340 WLVL Lockpoint.
Stream us live at WLVL.com.
Very good. So if you'd like to join the conversation, feel free to call us at 433-1433, 433-1433. If you have any questions for Mr. Emerson, you can certainly feel free to ask them. Or if you have a memory, your childhood memory, or even a recent memory of things that you did when you went to Old Fort Niagara, tell us your favorite part, and feel free to do that, 433-1433. So, Bob, since you've been there for 27 years, what's your favorite part?
Well, I probably have to say the special events. They're really a lot of fun to organize. Watching people enjoying the programming, that's what I look forward to, that from one event to the next, and been doing them for a long time, but they never get stale. There's always something different to look forward to.
Very good. And now they have the government has relaxed their rules on the invitation weapons that you can bring in. I remember that gun ban thing. You couldn't even have a toy or a replica gun in the state park, but they have relaxed that sense, right?
Well, they passed an amendment to that law that exempted reenactments from exempted reenactments, theatrical productions, movie shooting movies, things like that. I mean, when they originally passed that, there was no thought went into it, so they had to go back and modify it to exempt these legitimate activities that bring in a lot of money into our economy. So yeah, that happened last year. We were very pleased that we were able to get that amendment through.
Yeah, not to get political, but when the government sees dollar signs, they act appropriately to make sure they get their share of it. So, all right, so we have covered quite a bit so far, but there is still quite a bit to cover. So I'm going to let you carry on there, Mr. Emerson, and tell us about all the other great things there is to talk about with Old Fort Niagara.
Well, the something on the horizon a little further out. Now, I mentioned 2026 is the year that the French castle turns 300. But 2026 is also a year when the United States has a birthday. The Declaration of Independence was signed in 1776, as most people know. So in 2026, the U.S. turns 250, and there's a federal commission been established. New York State is behind its neighbors in getting a commission up and running, but they're working on that. And then last year, Niagara County created a USA 250th committee. The legislature passed it, and we've been working since fall to our mission really is to coordinate activities and events that are going on across the county so we can kind of be a clearinghouse for organizations and communities that are planning 250th events to celebrate the birthday of the United States. And so we've had great support from the legislature. We have the business community involved, patriotic organizations like the Daughters of the American Revolution. So we have about 30 people on the committee, and we're soliciting ideas for programming or events. And anybody who has an idea or a thought, whether you're a municipality or a historical society or just a citizen, get in touch with us and let us know what your thoughts are in terms of, what would be appropriate to recognize this significant anniversary.
And how would they contact you if they would like to speak to you about this?
Well, they can go on our website. We don't have a website yet for the committee. That's coming. But they can contact me through Old Fort Niagara's website. If you go to the website and go to About Us and then click on the staff button, our email address is there. My email address is remerson, that's remerson, at oldfortniagara.org. And I'd be happy to receive any ideas or thoughts about how to recognize this significant anniversary.
Absolutely, because I know there are a lot of people out there that really, really like history, and they would like to be involved. Again, that is remerson at oldfortniagara.org. Emerson is spelled E-M-E-R-S-O-N, remerson at oldfortniagara.org.
Right. And I'm old enough that I remember the bicentennial of 1976 and all the great stuff that went on there, the parades and the festivities and, the reenactments that were going on.
What a great time that was, huh?
Yes, indeed. So, we're hoping to rekindle some of that spirit in 2 years. And actually, it's not even 2 years. It's about a year and a half now.
So yeah, that's right. Time is ticking faster.
Clock is running,
Yep. I think I was 11 years old when that happened, and it was just a great time to be alive. Great time for great cars, great just things were happening around, and everybody seemed to be happier.
Yeah, and I think if you look back at the 1970s, it was a time of turmoil, and I think the bicentennial did a lot to unify people. Have them look back at the history of our nation, and some of us are hoping that some of that spirit comes back as we approach the 250th.
Agreed. I remember my aunt was a seamstress, and she made the Betsy Ross flags, and she made every single one of them by hand, and she was really quite popular. She sold a lot of them.
Wow.
Really kind of neat to be involved in that aspect of it, just to have somebody that made those. They were. It was just really neat to see them and how much pride she took in her craftsmanship. And Betsy Ross would have been pleased.
Indeed. Yeah. So we're looking forward to that. We're getting a late start, admittedly. I think some neighboring states have had commissions for several years now, and we're getting a late start. But we do have a committee on the local level, and we've met four or five times. And going forward, we're hoping that we can really get the county together to do some cool things in 2026.
Very good. Okay, so we have covered the history of the fort from 1726 to present. We've got the 250 year of the United States, 300 years of the castle. Got events going on throughout the course of the 4th of July weekend. We've got the kids coming in before school ends, and then after they start coming back to school again in the fall. We've got the native dancers in May for the smoke dance competition. That's a lot.
Yeah, it's a lot of events, but you know that's the key, is keeping the site active and trying to present new things all the time, because that's how we draw in new audiences. Our audience is a mix of tourists to the area. We see people from all over the world that come to the fort. We have some locals, especially folks, they may have guests in town and they want to show them the town. So we see people coming in for that. And as I said before, we get a lot of school tours coming in. So it's really it's a mix of folks that come and visit the fort.
Very good. Now, you said you had your own food service and everything there as part of your to keep the economy going. Now, is it like modern food, or do you have a spot where you can have period food? Or,
well, it's modern food. It's sandwiches, burgers, hot dogs. Okay. That's ice cream, that sort of thing.
Well, ice cream?
Yeah.
I'm in.
Ice cream's a big seller, especially in July and August. And that our food service does operate seasonally. That's when our heaviest traffic season is in July and August. So that's when it's financially feasible to offer the food service. But our kitchen is certified by the health department, so we do foods that are we really can't serve people food that we cook over the fire in the fireplace. So
they frown upon that.
It's a modern kitchen, but it's hidden. People touring the fort really don't see it.
Right. So now, I know when you have the reenactors there, they stay on campus, right?
Right. They camp. Usually what they'll do is they'll bring tents and bedding with them. We have places for them to build fires where they can cook. And they'll stay for the weekend. Our biggest event, the French and Indian War encampment, is a 3-day event. So we'll see people, rolling in on a Thursday and leaving on a Monday morning. So it's a kind of a long weekend, but it really does allow them to sort of get into the pace of an 18th century camp. It's a little different than the hectic lives that we lead today. So people really do enjoy that opportunity to be there for 3 days.
Nice. Be able to wind down a little bit and get the full experience of the fort. Now, would the enactors get to spend the night? Is there any opportunity for just regular folks to spend the night?
Well, we used to have an overnight program mainly for scout groups, and that went away during COVID. We haven't brought it back yet because we have about half the staff that we had before COVID, and it is a kind of a labor-intensive activity. So perhaps in the future we'll bring that back, but right now we don't have it. There is an opportunity. We do offer lantern tours if you want to come to the fort at night. We have programs in October that we tell all the spooky stories about Fort Niagara, and you can get a ticket in advance to that. We don't start selling them till September, but you can get a ticket to take a lantern tour through the fort in the darkness. It's a little bit different experience.
Yeah, it's funny you bring the spooky part up, because that was the next on my list of questions to ask. Is, you know, I was kind of leading up to, you know, if you could spend the night or whatever. The big lead up was to, is it haunted?
Well, I have to tell you, from personal experience, I've never seen anything unusual. I did one time I went through and I put out all the candles. We had a at Christmas time, we have a candlelight event on two nights, and at the end we go and extinguish all the candles because the building is lit entirely with candles during that event. So I'm going around and extinguishing those candles, and when I get done, I come back and the candles where I started are relit. What's going on here?
So either there's a ghost, or you got a joker following you around.
Yeah, well, I later learned that my son was following me around relighting candles. So there was a perfectly rational and logical explanation for this phenomenon.
Darn it.
But
could have had a Scooby-Doo mystery going on there for a minute.
We have had other, you know, other incidents where, you know, people have seen things. We've had all the ghost shows there, like Ghost Hunters, and there was a show called Ghost Lab, I think they were there. And they always find things, whether there's anything there or not.
Well, sure. But that's the fun of the show, right?
Yeah. But I've talked to people. I've talked to people who have seen weird things. And I don't think of them as, you know, being kooks or anything. So, you know, I believe that people have seen unusual things there.
It would be interesting to hear if any of our listeners have seen or heard any funny things there at 433-1433. We're going to do another quick station identification, let Bob catch his breath here.
Niagara County's information station. Information station.
Okay, so we have, what else is on the docket of things to talk about, all the exciting things going on at Old Fort Niagara, Mr. Emerson?
Well, I probably should talk about, you know, some of our daily programs. You don't have to come during a special event to see a lot of living history activity going on. We have programs every day that we're open. Musket demonstrations. You can learn how this 18th century technology works and how it influenced battlefield tactics. During the summer months, we have we add artillery demonstrations to that, cannon firings, mortar firings. We also have a civilian program. Not all of the residents of Fort Niagara were soldiers. There were women and children there as well. So, you know, we're trying to highlight their roles a little bit more. We have a native interpreter there, a gentleman who's a Mohawk, and he talks about native history and culture. He tells stories and sings songs that are traditional Haudenosaunee material. So, you know, you're going to see, even if you come on a non-special event day, you're going to see a lot of things that are really interesting. And one of the other interesting things about the fort, and unusual things about the fort, is that most forts in North America were built for a specific time and a specific purpose. And when that situation changed, the fort was abandoned and left to rot. That's not the case with Fort Niagara. The fort has an incredibly long history, starting in the 1670s and going all the way up to 1963 when the U.S. Army finally left there. So it's a long period of history. The buildings are, for the most part, original. They're not reconstructions, which a lot of other forts are. That's one of the very unique things about the fort, is how long it was used. And it reinvented itself to survive all those centuries When the French first built it, they were trying to control the upper Great Lakes by choking off the Niagara River. British captured it in 1759. They used the fort to control the Great Lakes through the American Revolution. During the War of 1812, of course, the British are now over on the Canadian side, and the U.S. has the fort, and there was a lot of combat between Fort Niagara and Fort George throughout the War of 1812. The British even recaptured the fort in 1813, turned it back to the U.S. In 1815, and it's been in U.S. hands ever since. During the Civil War, there were soldiers there who had been captured in New Mexico, and they were captured in New Mexico by the Confederates in July, and they signed a parole. And what a parole basically was is you signed a document and you agreed not to fight for a specified period of time. In this case, it was a year. So they're sending these poor guys that were at Fort Fillmore in New Mexico in July, and they sent them to Fort Niagara, and they get there in November.
Oh, for crying out loud.
So, I mean, what a change in environment, you know?
Yeah.
July in New Mexico to winter at Fort Niagara.
Oh, it's got to be horrible. Listen, we have a phone call. Let's see what our caller has to say here. Good morning, caller. You are on with Mr. Bob Emerson, the executive director of Old Fort Niagara. What is your thoughts or comment or question, please?
Yeah, hello to you two. Good conversation there, Bob. I enjoy it. One of the comments I had is a few years back, I believe you had something called a community night, which you opened the fort to area residents, or I don't know if it was everyone, but it was free of charge, and it seemed to generate a lot of sales of, you know, what your store sells, and maybe sold a few memberships. Is that on schedule, or is there any consideration of that? Or
yeah, we haven't done it for a couple of years. It's one of those things that went away during COVID, but it wouldn't be a bad idea to bring it back. It's not currently on the schedule, but that's a good idea.
Yeah, I bet you see some different faces there or whatever, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Some people like can't get out or can't afford or whatever probably show up, and maybe it generates, you know, talk about it, if nothing else. And
Yeah. Not a bad idea.
So, caller, what's your favorite memory of Old Fort Niagara?
Oh, gosh, you know, the field trips, I guess, you know? Back in school, I graduated in 79, so, you know, but even back then we had field trips up there, so.
Is this Bruce, if I recognize
you?
Yes, it is. I recognize your voice. Okay, yeah.
Yeah. So Eric probably went on a few of them, too, up there. And I think,
we did, because we all went to the same school.
Yeah, the younger, you know, I don't know, it leaves a more of an impression in your mind, I believe, like that, doesn't it? You know?
It does,
so,
indeed.
Yeah. But the schools are still, you know, scheduling them. That's great that they do that. So,
well, something that really...
Okay, I just wanted to put that out there.
Sure.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thanks for the call, Bruce. Appreciate you.
Something that really helps the schools is that, you know, there's a couple of programs. There's a program called Connect Kids.
Okay.
That New York State operates. And then there's another program called Ladders to the Outdoors that New York State administers with funds from the Ralph Wilson Foundation. And these programs basically underwrite the transportation cost and the admission fees to the fort. So the schools can come, if you qualify, you can come for free. I mean, we get paid, the bus companies get paid, but the cost to the school is nothing. So it's helped our attendance greatly, but it also makes the site much more accessible to people of all economic levels.
Right. Regardless of your socioeconomic status, you can participate in that. So it's probably nice to get some of the inner city schools in there. Kids that don't get a chance to run around in the grass and have this beautiful, beautiful view of the lake. And yeah, but it's like you said, that one little boy that just walked up and hugged the tour director and says the best day of his life. I'm certain that, you know, if you get some city kids in there, that's got to be a really great thing for those, and great to watch them enjoy themselves.
Well, he said it, but I'm sure he's not alone. We see a lot of joy on a lot of faces when they come out, and excitement. I mean, that's the cool thing about it. The kids are excited to be there.
Yeah, that's so much fun. Okay, so you do have daytime programs going on. What's next on our list of agenda?
Well, let's see. We talked about the masonry restoration program that's coming up. Mm-hmm. One of the projects that we have up our sleeve is we would like to reconstruct a log house that represents accommodations for Native American refugees during the American Revolution. We have a Native history program because Fort Niagara was really a meeting place between the French, the British, and Native Americans, not just from Western New York, but from all over the Great Lakes and even from the Midwest. Natives came to trade. They came to cement military alliances with the European powers. They came to negotiate, conclude treaties. So there's a tremendous Native history associated with the fort, even though the fort was a European fort. A lot of Native people coming in and out of there. So during the American Revolution, a lot of Native people fled to Fort Niagara, and the British built housing for them, at least the prominent leaders of the Native community. And we have a Native program. Our Native interpreter is out there, but he has no place to really call home. So one of our projects that we have on the drawing board is to reconstruct one of these log houses that the British built for Native allies. And we're hoping to get that accomplished by 2026 when all the big anniversaries are occurring. So that's a project. Another longer-term project is we opened our visitor center in 2006, and we're hoping to refurbish the exhibit in there. We have an orientation exhibit that kind of tells people what they're going to see in the fort, but we're hoping to refurbish that, put in a new exhibit by 2026, and maybe tell the story in a little different way. So a couple of longer-term projects, but things that are exciting, and we hope we can move forward with them.
Very good. Now, was that a longhouse? Was there a longhouse there?
Well, by the time of the American Revolution, even the French and Indian War, a lot of Native people were living in log houses. Log houses, not long houses.
Okay, that was the question, because I remember the long houses from elementary school.
It's that's an older style of housing, more traditional, but there were a lot of changes going on in the Native communities in the 18th century, and as the century wore on, there were more and more Native families living in log houses rather than the traditional Haudenosaunee long house. And so we're looking at the period of the American Revolution, and so the log house is the more appropriate structure for housing these Native refugees. So we're just hoping to tell that story. And one of the big themes of the 250th celebration is telling stories that have not been told before or been rarely told. And a lot of people don't know about the Native role in the American Revolution. So we're trying to make that come alive and give it a lot more visibility than it has had over the years.
Very good. Good, 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 good. Yeah, so tell me, how many, do you measure this in how many acres the facility is, or what's the size of it?
Yeah, the fort occupies about 22 acres. of ground right at the point of land where the Niagara River flows into Lake Ontario. And it's a pretty big footprint. Originally, the fort was just the French castle with a wooden stockade wall around it, so it occupied just a couple of acres. But when the French and Indian War began in 1754, but by 1755, the French knew that they better build a stronger fort or they were going to lose control of the Niagara. So they sent out an army officer named Pierre Puchot, and he laid out all the big earthworks that you see there today. And so he and the soldiers expanded the fort to its current size, this 22-acre footprint. It's a big fort.
It sure is. Hey, we have another caller. Let's see what's going on here. Good morning, caller. You are on with Mr. Bob Emerson, the executive director of Old Fort Niagara. What is your thought or comment, please?
Good morning. I was just wondering, I heard you talking about the fort being haunted. And go ahead.
No, I just said right, yes.
I was wondering, I've recently met someone that just moved here from Arizona, and he does the filming of for paranormal.
Okay.
I was wondering if I know he's not listening because he's working, but if that could be something that you would let them do, is to go there and film and have his paranormal.
Yeah, we have had some of those groups come in in the past. We're not doing it right now because of staffing limitations, because they usually want to do it at night, and our staff is all there during the day. We got nothing like that on the docket, but we have done it in the past.
Okay. Can they reach out to you at a later date, or?
They can always check with us. Yeah. I mentioned my email earlier in the show, which is just remerson@oldfortniagara.org. And, okay. if they're interested, just send me an inquiry.
Okay. I'll just briefly tell you, if you want to jot it down, it's CLS Paranormal.
Right. Okay. Yeah. So have them send me an inquiry.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You bet.
Bye-bye.
Well, that was curious, wasn't it?
Right. Right.
Yes. Very, very good. Well, folks, if you're listening and you do want to reach out to Mr. Emerson, you can always re-listen to the podcast of this program on WLVL.com. It will be up on our website later on this afternoon. That's WLVL.com. Just hit the podcast button and go to today's date, and you can listen to this whole show as many times as your little heart desires, because why not? It's a great show to listen to. Might as well listen to it more than once.
All right. Yeah, I think we've covered a lot of ground here today.
We certainly have, and we've only got about 5 minutes left. So maybe if there's anything else new that we can cover, or if you want to spend some time recapping things that we have talked about, that's kind of whichever way you'd like to go there.
Well, I guess one last thing that we could talk about is our collections.
Yes.
We have about 100,000 objects in our collections. A lot of them have been retrieved by archaeologists. We have an archaeology program. And they, they dig in a different spot each time. They've recovered all kinds of interesting artifacts that one time or another have been thrown away. We also have objects that we've acquired through donations, that sort of thing. We have a collections building where we store our collections in climate control vaults. So when people come to our museum, they're going to see a lot of original artifacts as well. We don't use original artifacts. We use in our programming, we use reproductions because you don't want to wear out an original artifact. But we do have a collection, and we have some really interesting things in there, in our collection, that have been found by archaeologists. We found pieces of powder horns. We have all kinds of cooking vessels that at some point someone threw in a hole in the ground and buried. We have, uniform items, that have been discarded one time or another. So, it's a good collection of historical artifacts. We also have a research library, which has a lot of material on the history of Fort Niagara and the early history of the Niagara region. So we do have people coming and doing research in our library. And again, that's something that, you don't see. It's kind of beneath the surface, but we do have these things available.
It's good stuff. Let's see. One more time, we're going to take a quick break for a station identification. You're listening to Mr. Bob Emerson, who is the executive director of Old Fort Niagara here in Youngstown, New York. We'll be right back.
When you need to know,
Niagara County's information station.
Okay, we are down to 2.5 minutes, Bob. So the floor is yours, my good sir.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
I'll just mention, I'll recap what we talked about earlier with a couple of events that are coming up. On May 11th, we have Native Nations at Niagara. That's our next big event. That's a Native American smoke dance competition coming up. People coming from all over the place to compete for prizes. There'll be vendors of Native American foods. So it's going to be a great time. It's on Saturday, May 11th. And that's going to be followed on Memorial Day weekend by our military timeline event, Soldiers Through the Ages, which is a really educational look at how military life has changed over the centuries. So that's always a big popular event. And I'd also like to mention on Memorial Day itself, there's a program that our Youngstown VFW hosts a Memorial Day observance in the Fort Niagara Cemetery, which is probably the oldest cemetery in the county. So we join them at 11 o'clock to honor those who fell in our nation's wars. So it's going to be a busy May, loaded with events and school tours, and we're looking forward to seeing lots of people at Old Fort Niagara.
Oh, it's going to be a grand time indeed. So let me ask you one quick question as we're doing the outro here, Bob. If a family wants to go to there, what does it cost to get in?
The general admission is $20 for adults and $12 for children 6 to 12. Under that, under 6 is free.
Okay, that's great. Very good. Well, listen, I understand we're going to be speaking again. Is that true in May?
Yeah, I think I'm doing the morning, the wake-up show.
Oh, great. Well, we'll have a blast doing that.
May 6th, yeah.
All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, once again, you've been listening to Mr. Bob Emerson, the executive director of Old Fort Niagara. If you'd like to contact him, it is remerson@oldfortniagara.org. So we're going to leave you with that. Have a glorious day. I'm going to go to Fox News, and don't forget the baseball game tonight here on WLVL 1340 AM, streaming worldwide at WLVL.com.